Welcome to the Career Zone podcast, where each episode we spend some time focusing on something that's on students' minds right now. I'm your host, Rachel, employability and careers consultant with the University of Exeter. You can catch up on all of our episodes by doing all of those subscribing and following things. We're on Spotify and iTunes.
So I'm really delighted today to be joined by Lena Warwood from the Equality, Diversity and Inclusion team. Welcome, Lena. Would you like to introduce yourself and tell everybody about your role?
Hi, so my name's Lena. I'm one of the EDI project support officers, and my general day job is that I look after disability in the university. So we have conversations about reasonable adjustments and that kind of thing. I also am one of the co-chairs of the LGBTQ staff network, and I look after a group called the Trans and Non-Binary Cafe. One of the organisers of that, which is, I think, one of the biggest trans groups in Devon now.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, and I'm a trans woman. I came out while working in Exeter. And so, yeah, this is very much my home and where I chose my name and everything like that. So
brilliant. Thanks, Lena. So we wanted to put a podcast together to focus very much an employability lens on areas to consider, particularly for the trans femme community as part of International Women's Day. And what we'd like to do today is very much explore careers from a perspective of finding a supportive employer organisation, thinking about the recruitment process and navigating the recruitment process. And obviously focusing on support available in the workplace as well. So quite a lot to talk about. Yeah. So I think what we'd like to think about first, Lena, is, you know, we all know it's so important, isn't it, to find a work environment and organisation where you feel valued, you feel comfortable and very much supported to start your career and further develop your career as well. So first of all, is there any tips and advice on what to look for when you're exploring and researching the right organisation for you, do you think?
Yeah, so I think one of the first things to say, sadly, is that there are employers still in the UK who will find ways to discriminate against trans people in the workplace and find ways to not hire trans people. Mm. And one of the things that I get asked is, should I be open about my identity? And what I usually tell people is that that's something that they have to think about themselves. There are reasons why people might feel really desperate and that they want to hide something. But then I'd really encourage people to think, would you want to work in a place where you have to be hidden? And I think there are good employers. Things that I would look out for when looking for employers include when you're dealing with a hiring manager or when you're dealing with the people in the department, do they have pronouns on their signatures and on their profiles?
Okay.
That's a great sign.
That's a good start point, yeah.
A bigger organisation might have an LGBT network and there might even be names of people you can reach out to. Sometimes staff members and applicants will contact us. One of the advantages we have in Exeter is because we're connected to the Trans and Non-Binary Cafe, you can find out a lot about how places are to work from us. And that sort of link to the community and link to people working in the field is really valuable. I'd really encourage people to look for that.
So you can get that insider information and have a feel for how other people are getting support and feeling supported, maybe, with an organisation.
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to be, you can never guarantee one person's good experience might be another person's bad experience, but you can triangulate and you can look for these signs. And I think most trans people will know a lot of those signs already. Another thing to look out for is that organisations will have transitioning policies or LGBT policies or going to Pride. And that's the sort of stuff you can research before you join the organisation.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant. Some really good advice there. Thanks, Lena. I mean, as we know, recruitment processes, they do vary depending on who the organisation is in terms of size. Some organisations, possibly some of the smaller organisations, maybe it's a CV application form, then an interview. Some of the larger organisations, they put you through a mill a little bit and multi-stage recruitment processes. You could be doing online tests, possibly as part of more of a formal assessment centre. It could be group discussions, written tasks, all sorts of things that you might be faced with. Do you feel that, are there any particular challenges, dare we say barriers, that perhaps trans femme community might come across during recruitment processes, and any tips, advice there that we could help people with?
I think a core thing that we can talk about is pronouns. So some people are putting pronouns, particularly if they prefer to go by they, them, or a neopronoun on their CV. There's some evidence that this reduces employability, but again, we hit this wall of, do you want to work for a place that won't accept you?
Yes.
So it can almost be a good test of the employer, because one thing you have to consider in all of this process is it's a two-way street. You know, when you're going to an organisation, sometimes you'll get a bad vibe and you won't want to work for them. And that's actually good.
That's
you can
positive,
choose.
Isn't it? Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that could be as far as, you know, you might be at the interview stage and meeting people either virtually at interview or face-to-face. And as you say, it's a two-way process, isn't it? Do you get the feeling that they're going to be people that you would like to work with? And is it an organisation that perhaps is going to be supportive for you as well?
Yeah, I think a thing to be mindful of at the interview stage is that while you may have used your pronouns on your application form or in communication with a hiring manager, the hiring manager isn't necessarily the same person as he's on the interview panel. So in a good organisation, and I'd like to think Exeter is a good organisation, we'd be able to pass on the information, oh, this person prefers to go by they, them, or she, her, and that would then be transmitted to people interviewing you. But that can go wrong. So
it always happen.
Yeah, you have to, it's bad if it does happen, but it is okay to correct people. And, you know, if it's a place that's worth working in, they will accept that and want to know that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's so important, isn't it? That, you know, and I guess that's quite, that could be quite challenging to feel, you know, you're in that stage where it's the recruitment process and that's quite daunting maybe to challenge. But I think from somebody who's had quite a lot of experience of being on recruitment panels, I would prefer to be corrected and make somebody, enable somebody to feel as comfortable as possible in that situation. Yeah,
I think there's sometimes even advantages, dare I say it, in being in somebody's mind, like you've had a personal connection. So I wouldn't worry about it if it happens. I'd also point out, I think some people listening to this may have heard of the Mayor Forstater judgment, which the main purpose of it was to protect gender critical beliefs, but it has a advantage in that some of the things that were restated in that judgment were that no one's entitled to misgender you, no one's entitled to dead name you, and no one's entitled to harass you in the workplace for being trans. And I think that's something that people need to know.
Sounds a really important thing to consider, isn't it? Anything else in the recruitment process that you can think of? We talked about CVs and applications, and then in the sort of interview situation, I suppose I'm thinking, you know, if it's a larger organization, there might be group discussions maybe, so you're working and networking with fellow candidates. Is there anything there that you feel might help somebody feel again more comfortable and able to perform during that sort of situation, which again could be quite daunting for anybody, but when you're meeting people for the first time?
I think that's a really personal thing, actually, that I know that a lot of trans femmes particularly will have concerns about how they're going to be treated in these situations and bad experiences. And it's, unfortunately, it's something to work through and with. I think one thing that I would say is that it's a good idea to reach out to the community. And by community, I mean sort of people in your age bracket going through that experience, because we've noticed it is something that changes. And definitely when I've worked with older trans people, they've had very much a notion of this is going to be a dangerous environment in ways that we don't necessarily face so regularly these days. So I think you've got to be really careful about what you take on board as well, and try and have a bit of a positive attitude. But obviously, experiences can be different. I think one thing that might be worth saying is a lot of trans people will have had experiences related to, for example, working within LGBT groups or volunteering and things like that. I suppose a lot of what's there can be really relevant. And again, the stuff that we've said about a good employer will recognize that. I guess a question that I'd have for you is, like, when we're talking about that kind of voluntary experience that's connected to a specific minoritized group, like, how would you generally advise somebody in those stages?
I guess, are you thinking in terms of using the opportunity as examples
exactly.
Of, you know, when they're asking you questions about, oh gosh, things like teamwork or leadership roles, or when you've had to, I suppose, face setbacks and resilience.
Yeah.
And, you know, any example like that would be absolutely fantastic to use to demonstrate that, you know, a whole range of skills. So I guess it's having that confidence that, you know, in using those examples then, isn't it, as credible examples in a, you know, to demonstrate a whole range of skills and attributes that that an organisation is looking for.
Yeah.
And I guess it's a bit of a test again to see the reaction and whether they're a supportive organisation.
Yeah, I suppose if I were thinking of examples in my work life where I've like maybe experienced transphobia, mm-hmm. when I'm thinking about how to use the example in an interview, mm-hmm. I'd probably want to make sure that I'm not taking the approach of being combative to the organisation and making sure that I'm showing, okay, this mm-hmm. is what happened, this is why this turned into a positive change.
Yeah.
So that people have this sort of confidence that they're hiring someone who can handle a difficult situation and come out the other side in a better place than they went in.
Yeah, that sounds great advice, definitely. Okay, so we've talked a little about the recruitment process. Let's sort of focus our thoughts into actually in the workplace. And, you know, if somebody is thinking about or deciding about coming out at work or dealing with transitioning, any sort of tips in terms of who to disclose to and how to approach those situations?
Yeah, so coming out is something that's really personal. Mm-hmm. Some people will prefer to wait until they've been on HRT for a while, mm-hmm. or some people, I came out before starting HRT, mm-hmm. and I sort of got to a stage where I had to come out, if that makes sense, which a lot of people do.
Yeah.
There's lots of different routes people can take. Like some people have asked for somebody else to help them lead that conversation. What I found worked for me is coming out to a supportive line manager and supportive colleagues, and then coming out to people sort of higher up the management chain. Okay. I took mm-hmm. a half day and sent an email in the morning saying, this is going to change. Mm-hmm. I am not out yet, so I won't be able to answer every single question about what it's like to be trans. So be patient with me as I learn. And I arranged beforehand for a senior figure in our department mm-hmm. to send an email saying, thank you, congratulations, we respect your decision and we want to help. And I sort of talked to him beforehand about how to phrase that so that it set the tone of the conversation.
Okay.
So what we do as an organisation within Exeter, mm-hmm. I have reasonably regular contacts with people who are thinking about coming out. We generally talk them through this sort of thing, like who would be a supportive person to tell mm-hmm. first? Mm-hmm. Who can you get on your side? Mm-hmm. But also the sort of processes. So getting your name on this computer system sorted out, changing your email address. Mm-hmm. You have the rights to have anything on your card. There can be some difficulties with name changes if you haven't had a deed poll, but there are systems in place for changing that. It's worth having a conversation with your HR. What we have in Exeter is I'd probably talk to a HR business partner about this, if I'm honest, mm-hmm. and say, okay. Or I talk to my line manager who talks to a HR business partner, depending on how you feel. And they could talk you through some of those processes around, okay, we'll talk to the systems people, change your name, blah, 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 mm-hmm. get it all sorted out for you. It seems scary and it seems a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing to realise is that you have to sort of own taking it at your own pace, mm-hmm. because people will expect that you'll have it all done right away, but you can't.
No.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
You have to just let people know. The other thing I would say is what I've often seen in workplaces, especially these days, more small workplaces, is people come out and then are immediately asked, OK, what should our process be? Can you help us write this?
Right.
Can you do training? And it's OK to push back on that a little bit. In fact, I'd encourage people who are newer to transition to actually be able to say, I don't know all the answers and I don't need to.
Yeah.
And to look at the groups like we're going to talk about in a minute that can help you provide that support.
Okay, so you haven't got to do it all at the, you know, straight away. But it sounds like the key thing is identifying the supportive people that you feel comfortable with, be that your colleagues, your line manager or both. And depending on the size of the organisation, a HR person may be. But taking it at your own pace is the key.
I think the other thing that's really useful is mm-hmm. LGBT networks. Mm-hmm. A lot of them will have trans people either running them or in like a particular position as a representative who know about these issues and can support you, and can also, it's really valuable to have trans people who you can call and like have a chat with if things are going a bit awry and you want, or you just want support.
Yeah, and just talk it through.
Yeah.
And that leads us nicely, because we thought we'd finish, didn't we, thinking about, you know, the support and maybe some resources that are available to help. I mean, from, you know, you mentioned a few things as we've been talking already. This sounds like there's a lot of support out there,
yeah,
Lena, as well. Do you want to highlight some of the key ones that you think would be useful for our audience to know about?
So we'll start with the big ones, which are the national ones. Mm-hmm. I'd look at gendered intelligence, which they've provided me some really good resources in terms of changing names on passports, or okay, how to talk to doctors, or how to talk to workplaces. The other big one is Stonewall, which do workplace guidance. Mm-hmm. So if a workplace doesn't have its own transitioning guidance, mm-hmm, that can help form the basis of it. And some organisations have a relationship with Stonewall. Yeah. The University of Exeter has that, okay, sort of, which is really valuable for mm-hmm us. More sort of internal, if you're in Devon, I'd be looking at the Intercom Trust, who mm-hmm provide support for trans people. They also provide cut price therapy, which can be really valuable.
Yes. Yeah.
And then locally, there are a couple of groups running. In Totnes, we have Proud to Be. There's Not Alone in Plymouth. And then there's a group called Trans and Non-Binary Cafe, who meet twice monthly and have a really active Discord server. Good group,
yeah,
I hear.
Yeah, great.
And then if we're talking, if you don't mind, yes, like as a yeah university HR person, yeah, saying like, if you're working in Exeter, we have a really good staff network. Mm-hmm. We regularly attend prides. We have people who are trained and know about issues in terms of like your HR business partner or occupational health, all of these places where you'll find people who are supportive. And I hope it's getting easier and nicer and more like rewarding to transition in this university. So do choose it as an employer.
Yes. Thanks, Lena. And we've covered a lot there, haven't we? So we've thought a little bit about, you know, researching tips in terms of researching the right place for you where you feel valued and supported. So think about navigating the recruitment process, thinking about support available in the workplace, and then some really useful resources. So thank you. That's been an invaluable conversation, and thank you for sharing your experiences as well.
Thank you.
This was the Career Zone podcast, brought to you by the University of Exeter Career Zone. Check out iTunes and Spotify to keep up with all of our regular releases. And if you'd like us to cover something else in another episode, just send us a message, hashtag Career Zone Podcast, at UOE Career Zone or at UOE Cornwall Career Zone on Instagram, and we'll follow up in one of the next episodes.